Brothers and sisters, listen to Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. But he, Jesus, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Life is far too short and too complicated to be coy. So let me be honest from the get-go and just tell you. About 3 years ago now, I went to visit Mellapool for the first time. I went with Hank Hamstra, a dear brother in this church who invited me along for the visit. And to be perfectly candid with you, I was struck by Mella. He came off as a curmudgeon, a grump, a grouch. He struck me initially as a cantankerous old man. This level of honesty may come as a shock to some of you and think it utterly unbehooving of a pastor to mention upon a man's death. Others of you will know that I am just trying to establish an air of credibility so that you'll believe what I say. But my real purpose here is this. I kept on visiting, at first with Hank, and then over the last 2 years alone. Quite a lot. And in addition to coming to know someone who could be wonderfully kind and loving and tender and sympathetic and thoughtful and fun, I learned the deeper and the more profound and the more beautiful truth about Mellapool. The man was a paradox. Which is to say, yes, Mella had this rough and gruff and at times difficult exterior. We saw it. But the deeper truth is that this rough exterior was little more than insulation. Little more than a coat of armor to protect a very soft, a very sensitive, and at times a very fragile man hidden inside. Mellapool had tough beginnings, and any consideration of his life must take these beginnings into account. Some of the early trauma he faced, including the poverty, being hunted by Germans in a haystack while they thrust the haystack with pitchforks while he was hiding inside, and including a nasty incident where another boy tried to hold him underwater and drown him. These sorts of experiences are traumatizing, and they can go deep. And if the soil is right, they do go deep. And for the traumatized person, like the soldier enduring post-traumatic stress, it can suspend a person in a state of protective alert for a long time, always expecting the danger to jump out at them at any time. And so the antidote, the solution to this predicament, is either to become a troglodyte and literally hide yourself away in a cave, or it's to become invincibly strong so that you can hide yourself in plain sight. Mella may have chosen the latter. And let me be clear, absolutely clear, Mella was strong. Strong in so many ways and in so many good ways, with intelligence, gumption, determination, fidelity, courage, assertiveness, industriousness, wit, an entrepreneurial spirit, verbal dexterity, and how can it not be said, a bodily hardihood that lasted him even into his mid-90s, despite the fact that for 40 or 50 years, what was it, family, 40 or 50 years, he smoked like a chimney. He was in good physical condition for all that. Indeed, he was strong in so many ways, bodily, cognitively, psychically. And it could perhaps make it seem sometimes like the paradox wasn't there. But for the watchful, for the discerning, and in amidst all of the strengths of Mellapool, the paradox was always finding a way to flicker through the cracks. The softness was deep within, and it was always there because, you know, Mella could be hard on you as kids, as you shared with me, and he could scold you, and sometimes even more. And it was too much for him ever to say sorry. He was too strong for that. But then he would act story, sorry, and still want you to see the softness peeking through. Mello was gruff on the farm and tense and frequently irritable. But then you'd go on vacation and an entirely unseen side of him was brought into the light, a side of levity, of mirth, of playfulness, probably because the need to succeed, the need to be strong wasn't there, and so the pressure was off. And he can let that side of himself show through, the deeper side. Mello made great money, and he liked to travel with Alice a lot, but in another of the remarkable features of this man's life, Mello would want to go, as we might put it, to where the wild things were, to where things were not necessarily safe, to where things had gotten despoiled and destroyed. Why did he want to go to those places? Well, it may have been mere morbid curiosity, or it may have been an opportunity for this strong man to let his softness shine through in a way that felt less dangerous for him than it did at home, for whatever reason. Mello loved his kids. I can attest to that in spades. Yet he struggled ever to say so. He was, again, too strong for that in some ways. And yet he couldn't ultimately hide his true feelings. These true feelings sometimes came out paradoxically, as his mighty blow up with Simon when you were headed out to Sudan and he was afraid of you going there, and so a blow up in exchange for a tender touch. But other times it came out more straightforwardly, which is to say vulnerably, as when Larry did profession of faith, or when he hugged Nancy to console her at the death of Kirk, or when others of you were celebrated for some professional or academic success. Then the softness would show. But oh, how hard it was for him at times to let the softness show. He kept that bottled up and bottled in. Melapool, family and friends, was a paradoxical man, because he could indeed have this rough and tough exterior, but it seemed mostly like insulation. It seemed like a coat of armor to protect a very soft, a very sensitive, and at times a very fragile man hidden deep inside. But you know what? Then something profoundly interesting began to happen. And especially in the last few years, as many of you have observed and shared and testified with joy, Mello, who is indeed so strong in so many ways, began to weaken, and weaken especially in physical ways. But not only that, he became old, yes. His eyes became dim, yes. And also increasingly, he became to consciously suffer the shame of some of his past decisions, for example, in a way that nearly crushed him. In so many ways, he became weak. He became crushed under the weight. But as with St. Paul himself in 2 Corinthians, so with Malapool, as Mello became weak in ways that he was previously strong, so he became strong in ways that he was previously weak. Or to put it far more accurately, as Mello began to accept his weakness and embrace it in the context of the grace of God as a and as his fundamental human condition, he moved in his weakness to a different kind of strength, what we might call true strength, what the Bible does call true strength, the strength to open up, the strength to repent, the strength to relate better, the strength to be more vulnerable, the strength to own up to things and take responsibility for the full story of one's life. The strength to offer the milk of compassion even to himself, to the one whom he could be harder on than anybody else. The strength to open up his giant hands and receive the grace of God in all of its immoderate grandeur. And many of us saw this happening because, you know, he who was so often for most of his life reluctant or constrained from being vulnerable and showing his softer side began showing it all over the place. At the graveside, as we said goodbye to Alice, for example, as many of you will remember, Mello wanted to give a speech, and it was profound. And oh, how hard it was for him. Do we know how hard it must have been to be that vulnerable in front of that many people and to show that kind of weakness? Oh, what strength it would have taken indeed. On a personal note, one of the most moving times I ever had with Mello was I went to visit him in the hospital, probably my second to third last visit with him. And he was sitting by the window as he would do, right, looking out the window. And so I went over and sat on the bed. And in his prototypical, we say, who is it? Because he couldn't see. And so I said, it's Ed. It's Pastor Ed. And he wanted to grab my hands, which we did every time. And he grabbed my hands and held them tight. And then we talked a bit. And I told him that I had visited one of you and one of his kids. And immediately he kind of startled, and he had a paroxysm of emotion. And he said, how did it go? How did it go? And he started weeping immediately at that moment because he cared so much. And the tears started flowing, and my tears started flowing. And then we had a bit of a Kleenex party after that. But you know, he could show the strength of being weak and the vulnerability of his love, even though it was so hard so often. Another moment came when I shared with him on one of our last visits again, because Melis struggled to receive the grace of God on his own behalf. And I shared again with him the story of the prodigal son, you know, the story about this son who essentially wants his dad dead and so asks for the inheritance. He wants the money, not his father. And so he takes it and he runs and effectively treats his dad as though he's dead, and he goes off to a far-off country, you know the story well enough, and he squanders all of the wealth on himself. And then, not because he loves the father, but because he's feeling sorry for himself, he goes back to his father and he rehearses this speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. If you'd only take me back, I'll be one of your hired hands. And he goes into his father. And before he gets there, his father, which does not happen in ancient Near Eastern society, He runs to his son, and he throws open the door, and he throws open his arms to receive his son back, because, oh, the love of a father for a son. And Bella saw his own life in this story, and he saw the Heavenly Father's arms being thrown wide open for him, even though he felt unworthy of that love. But he's able to humble himself to receive a love we don't deserve. Mela's greatest strength, family, and friends came in his weakness. When he became weak, then he became strong. When he was pressed down, then he learned to open up and open out, to give love and to receive it in more healthy ways. And so perhaps the place to land this morning is with this. Family and friends, know this. Mela Poole, who could have such a difficult view of himself and who struggled a lot and sometimes covered over his struggles as with a show of human strength, Mela Poole in his final days, as he became weak in so far as the world would define it, he became unbelievably strong and offered us a picture of God himself. The Gospels confirm that God himself is a paradox. He who is God became man. He who is infinite became finite. He who is all strength became weak in order ultimately to die in weakness and in shame. But the paradox of God is that all of this willingly took on weakness, was true strength and its demonstration. The strength to love, the strength to reveal truth, the strength to forgive, the strength to renew, the strength to live for the glory and the fame of another, namely God, instead of oneself. And this is what Christ has done on the cross for all of us, folks. And it is in opening ourselves to this self-same vulnerable love that we are transformed. It transformed St. Paul. And I declare to you today that it was transforming Mela Poole too. Yes, it was hard for him, as we all know. But I saw his earnestness. I saw his passion, and indeed, I saw the authenticity of his love for this mysterious God whom he knew reached out to him and who had loved him first. Moments of peace that came through the knowledge of this love poked through here and there in Mela's final days and years. And by the way, Alice was an unbelievable catalyst of the grace of God for Mela. He saw the grace of God in her and felt it. But all of this poking was merely prelude to the peace he's now entered into in the presence of our Lord. And it's with this hope today that we can and may sing with Mela, "When peace like a river, and it is well with my soul." So I invite you to sing that with us now.